If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one in the books. Hour number two on deck, right on the early line for a Tuesday morning here. It's Joe Ranieri. It's Donnie Wrightside at SiriusXM Channel 159. And away we go. We talked a lot ad nauseum about basketball in hour number one. Recapping you up on the NBA. We'll get to some of those games a little bit later in the show. Talking about the NCAA tournament, sort of re-racking the anticipation for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. But also, we might have had opening day, quote-unquote, already, Joe, last week in Japan between the Cubs and the Dodgers. But opening day for us in America is Thursday, and I'm anticipated looking forward to that. A lot of cold weather, blustery conditions, 45 degrees, rain in the forecast, cancellations to push opening day back to a Friday. It's always the fun we have. But are you ready, Joe, for the Major League Baseball season, which is just a few short days away?
Yeah, I am, but I'm also a little disgusted with Major League Baseball because why you would start the season with in the beginning of the Sweet 16 into the Elite Eight into is you had Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week to have a captive audience in the entire world going, all right, now it's Major League Baseball. You could have took Thursday and Friday off for all I care, but you could have given us baseball these 3 days leading into the Sweet 16, but no, now you're going to force us to have to decide here, and I'm fairly certain most people are going to be watching college basketball and not Major League Baseball this week.
It is a good point. Like, let's just say even if Major League Baseball opened up on a Monday, like, there's no argument, like, well, people won't be able to get off work. Stop it. Like, opening day, everybody just takes off for work if you have tickets, and they're sold out across the landscape. You could get that nice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then that normal travel day Thursday, and then you play maybe Friday night games or Friday afternoon games. It would make some sense, but maybe they make, I always like to say, they make too much money where they don't care about making even more money or absolutely making sense at this point, which you're right about. What a day it is. And by the way, Thursday slate in NCAA action, one of the best cards you are going to see on a night-to-night basis in years here, and that's what Major League Baseball is going up against. But to kick off hour number two, we do like to see some of these futures and how they might play out during the 2025 Major League Baseball season, which again gets underway on Thursday. So we're going to start with the AL pennant odds here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. And I got to tell you, like, I see the numbers, and they've been out for quite some time now, starting to adjust, move around as we wait for opening day. The Yankees are the leaders in the clubhouse, which some might say, yeah, it does make some sense at a +390 price, which I would argue. Here's what I don't think is correct here. Orioles, Red Sox, Rangers, Astros, Mariners, as high as 10-1 if we just put a cutoff for the first couple teams here. The Yankees can be favorites, but to be the favorites at +390 and the Orioles are next at +650, I don't see it, Joe. I'm sorry.
The problem with the Yankees, and listen, you're never going to be able to replace a player like Juan Soto. Much like the Dallas Mavericks are never going to replace Luka Doncic in the next 20, 30, or the rest of their existence, the Yankees had a generational talent, which is saying something given the fact that they still have Aaron Judge in that lineup. But you're never going to replace him. But what they did do, knowing they took all that money they would have had to invest in him, and I thought they did a really good job in the offseason. I think Cody Bellinger is going to be an absolute monster at Yankee Stadium with that short porch in right field. I think Paul Goldschmidt in Yankee pinstripes, I think he's looking to have a nice bounce back season. I think all of this, what they did in the bullpen, I don't like not having Gerrit Cole, but you went out and got Max Fried. You got Devin Williams. The problem is this team up and down this roster is all injury prone. And the Yankees don't have any farm system. They've got nothing that they say, well, don't worry, we can bring guys back up and weather the storm. If there are any significant injuries for any significant length of time, the Yankees aren't winning 85 games, much less the American League pennant here, Donnie. I think health has everything to do with whether or not the Yankees can compete again.
Yeah, the interesting, like the American League, like I don't say the American League is down, but you compare it like to the top teams in the National League, it's like, ooh, good lineups, good pitching staffs. And you see the Yankees as the prohibitive favorite right now to win the AL pennant. And I look at the lineup, and I do think you're right on this one thing. There could be lightning in a bottle with Cody Bellinger. You want his home run props, his RBI props in the season. If you are a lefty swinger out there, which he is, and you have that short right field porch, and you know the guy loves launch angle, he's just going to walk into some home runs at Yankee Stadium that he wouldn't get anywhere else playing the majority of his games there. But having said that, look at the opening day roster starting lineup here. Austin Wells, Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger. Now, Judge Bellinger, nobody's going to argue. I think they're both going to have a really good season, barring injury here. Then you have Goldschmidt, who's ancient at this point. Jazz Chisholm, Volpe, Dominguez, Rice, and Oswaldo Cabrera. Like, I look at it like, oh, they must have, and no, they don't. Like, Stanton, yes. Wait, two bad elbows on, not one, two bad elbows. So who knows what Stanton's going to be this year? And you're right. The Yankees are prone to injury. I always equate it to this. You play Madden football growing up. Hey, turn the injuries off. Let's have some fun in this game so we can always have our superstar players. When the injuries start, they do. Oh, okay. Gerrit Cole's already out for the year. They can't have any other pitchers get injured because that's the rule. Like, no, you're days away from probably getting another pitcher saying, my elbow is sore. My shoulder is down. Stint to the IL. I just don't see the price point with the Yankees being that big of a favorite over the Orioles, the Red Sox, and the Rangers. Now, if we start moving down the odds here for the AL pennant, is there a team, Joe, you look at and say, you know what? I think I might buy in at this team at that price.
Well, I mean, listen, the Yankees also, we should mention, play in what I think is the toughest division in Major League Baseball in the American League East, because the Yankees, the Orioles, the improved Red Sox, even the Blue Jays are giving it one more final go there with Vlad and company there. So this is going to be tough, but if it's not the Yankees, then I do think the Orioles, you have to consider what they've done, the talent, the youth on this team. I think the Orioles are very much alive. If it's not the Yankees, I think it's the Orioles. I know the Tigers are too public for me. Everyone thinks the Tigers are going to win 90 games this year. They're going to bounce back. They're going to be all this tremendous. Like, yeah, no. I think Baltimore has the most talent, has the best roster, if they can put it together this year, to overtake not only the Yankees, but the American League pennant.
Yeah, a lot of question marks, too. A fun team that's wrapped in there, like right at the top, is the Rangers at an 8-1 price. I look at that roster, Simeon, Seager, Langford, Peterson, Garcia, Jung, Carter, Berger, and Heim. Yep. Like, I really think they're solid at this point, but the questions always come. It's like, all right, if you're solid, Nathan Eovaldi, okay, decent pitcher there at the top of the end. Tyler Molly, all right. Jack Leiter, still waiting for him. Kumar Rocker, seems like it's been 7 years since he was a superstar stud at Vanderbilt, and you're waiting for him to come around. Then Jacob deGrom, who used to be the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. Now you're hoping he just plays for a season. So like, unlike the National League, you take a look at some of these teams and say to yourself, well, where's the superstar power, which adds parity, which is why the Yankees still sit there at a plus 390 price. Something to do with the old Yankee tax where everybody bets them and the changes they can make during the season themselves. But you're right. Like the Twins, Joe, sitting there at a 10-1 price. I look at them like, man, the Tigers at a 10-1 price and say, boy, when I was growing up, they're like 150-1 to win because they never do. But there's legitimate options there. By the way, any thoughts there with the Kansas City Royals for you?
Listen, they're going to keep improving. I love the fact of what they did last year is they recognize they've got themselves an absolute superstar and they locked the kid up there. I think that the Royals are going to be feisty. That whole division is feisty here, but for as long as there's 162 games here plus postseason, I don't think they're there yet. I don't think the Royals, the Tigers, even the Guardians, for that matter, I think are going to take a step back this year. I think talent wins, and the talent, to me, is coming out of the American League East.
Yeah, it really is at that point, too. And it's always the same thing every year with the Central Divisions about the NL and the AL. It's like, get them in there, knock them out of the playoffs real quickly, and let's get back to the coast here, which usually typically have the more money. But you do take a look at the Kansas City Royals. India, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, Perez, Massey, Renfro, Melendez, Garcia, and Isbell is a pretty good 1-9. Should be fun to watch them play. And in the division, they absolutely can win. And once again, like, it's nice to see, like, the Royals are 15-1. As I said, the Tigers are a 10-1 price to win the championship. Crazy that those teams, perennial doormats, you know, for 20 to 25 years, now you're seeing them start to come up. Because why? Pay some of your young players here. Keep them involved in the mix. Add some good pitchers there. You can win some things. Let's keep it moving. A true AL East breakdown coming up next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The AL East, always a center point of the focus on who's possibly going to win the AL pennant on a year-to-year basis. Why? A lot of money is spent on the AL East. Those teams, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Orioles, the Rays, and the Blue Jays here. If we look at the price points and the odds and also the win totals, it is interesting to me because if we forget about starting at the top, which we talked the Yankees already here. Look at the bottom. It's the Blue Jays at 79.5. And the reason I bring that up is, you know, sort of equating to the Chicago White Sox, Joe. Just a few years back, we're saying, but the White Sox are the future of the Central Division with all the talent they have. They are absolute bottom feeders now. A couple years ago, you would look at the Blue Jays and say, I'm not so sure in the next year or two, they're not by far the best team in the American League East. So now we take a look at the standings and the win totals. Their expectations, 79.5, with the superstar Vladimir Guerrero Jr. winning $500 million plus to get paid. So that clouds the vision. So instead of starting up top, tell me about the Blue Jays and where it went wrong, or in your mind, Joe, if there's value on the Jays this year.
No, I listen, it's a very important year for the future of what this franchise is going to be, right? Because they certainly, if things go their way and with the variants and injuries and other things that happen in a 162-game season to other teams, sure, they might be able to punch their ticket to the postseason, but then what? You still haven't locked up Vlad Guerrero Jr. This is his final year. He's going to be looking for a huge payday. The fact that you couldn't come to an agreement with to this point means you've got people in that front office that can't figure out what direction to go to. You've got four pitchers in this rotation who are on the wrong side of 30 and two more that'll be free agents after this season here. Springer is not what he used to be anymore. Bo Bichette also hits free agency. So this is a bunch of guys playing out the string right now with no clear direction as to where this organization is going. And you and I both know, Donnie, if you're not committing to your players, your superstars, then these guys are just going to play it out, man. And they are going to be like, I'll hit free agency and somebody else will pay me the money. It's Major League Baseball after all. And that's what worries me. I think they either over-succeed and they make the playoffs but get bounced, or this is a team that is just miserable all year long and can't wait for the season to end. I don't think there's any in between with them.
That's the tough part, and you're right about it, because the ownership, the general manager, and the team operating in one direction, saying like, well, if we're good, we might be able to add, but if we don't get it started off, you know, in, let's just say, April and early May, we might be looking at an unbelievable fire sale in Toronto, which is crazy, again, on the thought process of how much talent they had just a few short years ago, never really equated to true victories on the field. Let me ask you also, we'll keep it sort of at the bottom half here. The Rays always surprise. You always look at their roster, you're like, it's not that good, and then they perform. It's like, well, that's always what the Rays do. But answer me this, because the handicaps usually with the Rays, Joe, for me was, we're going to play to our ballpark's capabilities. Not a lot of home runs, not a lot of runs, a lot of openers, strong bullpen, a lot of 100-mile-an-hour pitchers here, and we'll get by using analytics. The reason I bring that up is they're no longer at the Trop. They're going to play outdoor in Tampa, heat, sun, rain, smaller ballpark with the dimensions of Yankee Stadium at George Steinbrenner Park. How do you approach the Rays this year? Because for me, it's always like, oh, no, Red Sox, Yankees, Orioles go down there. You got to take team totals under. You can't have the home run props. Now it's outdoors. That opens up a complete new vision for me with the Rays and how to approach them.
They still don't know what they're doing, by the way, with the Trop and that and the roof. And it's an absolute shame, Donnie, because I I had been in Tampa and I got to see what it looked like without the roof. And it's just, it's just terrible here, especially given all the history there at the Trop and those great Tampa Bay Rays teams that they've had. But Hurricane Milton comes in and changes the entire direction of what this team has got to go through now. Now they've got to play in Tampa outdoors in the summer heat that has the same dimensions as Yankee Stadium. This is going to be wild to see exactly how this organization and how this team adjusts to all of that. I always thought the Rays had one of the better home field advantages. They use that ballpark to their advantage with those arms. You ain't going to be able to do that out in 95 degrees in Tampa in the summer. I can't wait to see what goes on. I think they're interesting because they have, I think, 25 or 26 of the 40 players on this roster have been acquired via the trade. This is an entirely new Rays team and Rays players and not necessarily the homegrowns that we've grown accustomed to. So this is a tough season for the Rays. I don't think it's going to end well for them. I think not having their own home. And by the way, where are you playing next year? Any idea, guys? You want to be long-term with Tampa? Like, you don't even know where you're going to be playing. So it's a tough spot for the organization for sure.
This is an ownership group, too, that's going to leverage your situation in the wrong respect. Yes. It's like, hey, you know, Nashville wants a team. We're going to move there because understand this. In a normal Major League Baseball market where your stadium gets damaged, right? And I understand it has a roof, but it's not like a retractable roof where it collapsed and damaged the structure itself. There would be a 1,000-man crew working day and night the minute that hurricane hit, clear things out in the next week, getting it going. They would be playing opening day in that stadium. Also, how about this? Like, they're playing at George Steinbrenner Field. Are you telling me, Joe, like, they couldn't just take the remnants of the roof off and say, we'll play in the elements this year because there's more, you know, effective stands and we could fit more people? And they don't care. It's like they're trying to make it as worse as possible, like the Florida Marlins or the Miami Marlins, a.k.a. did back in the day. Nobody's going to come to Joe Robbie. We're not spending any money here. And until you give us a new stadium, we just can't compete. I think that's what the Rays are doing at this point because, again, it's a cloth roof. You had months. You couldn't put another cloth on that roof to play. Because last time I checked, again, it wasn't the structural damage to the stadium. Yep. Like, we got to knock it down and restart. They don't want to rebuild it. And you bring up a great point. Because watch this play into next year where it's like, well, we don't know what to do with the Trop. You had over a year to put a tarp roof on the building and you couldn't figure that out. Just an absolute complete mess here. But before we wind up the statement quickly or this segment quickly, is it the Yankees in this division for you? Is it the Red Sox? Is it the Orioles? Who are you taking here to win this thing?
To me, it's a toss-up because if the Yankees stay relatively healthy, yes. If they don't, Donnie, it's the Baltimore Orioles, then the Red Sox for me. But I think it's the Yankees, provided they can keep everyone on the field for enough games this year.
I'm telling you, for me, a team that I don't know if I'm betting the win total or to make the playoffs, but on a day-to-day basis with RBI props, give me those socks. Give me this. Come on, Devers. Come through for me this year. We're moving it over to the AL Central next, right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This might not be a fun division, but you know what we like to say about baseball? Everybody has a chance on opening day, and somebody has to win the division, which means home field advantage for round number one in the playoffs. That division we're talking about is the AL Central. It's the Tigers. It's the Twins. It's the Guardians. It's the Royals and the White Sox here, which, again, we're not going to start at the bottom with the White Sox at a 55-1 to make the playoffs, a win total of 54.5. There's a lot of layers there for the White Sox. We don't have to get into any one of those because they're going to be terrible this season once again. But it's a new fun thing to do here. You take a look at those odds. It's the Tigers at a +220 price and the Twins at a +220 price to win the division here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. If we look at the Tigers lineup here, you make some nice additions there. Gleyber Torres comes over, Manuel Margot. You still have Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, Cole Keith, Spencer Torkelson in the middle of that lineup. And it all starts and ends with Tarik Skubal as one of the best young pitchers in Major League Baseball. Jack Flaherty comes over as a free agent. Are we too trendy here with the Tigers getting all the love to start the season, Joe?
Well, I mean, listen, they had, it's been a long road for the Tigers, man. Going all the way back to the Dave Dombrowski years where everybody he met, he gave a 30-year contract to for $728 million, like just buried the organization there. But I got to tell you, this looks like a they have enough youth. They've got some arms here. If they can keep this group intact, I love A.J. Hinch as the manager here. I think he is the right guy at the right time, and it would not shock me. I think the pitching is really the thing that's going to shine for Detroit and give them the ability to make the postseason here for what feels like the first time and forever here. The hitting, that's going to be the biggest question, right? Do they have enough bats in that lineup to be able to compete with some of the bigger teams like the Orioles and the Yankees and the Red Sox and teams that we know that are going to be able to score? But from a pitching perspective, this is a very good starting group. This is also a fantastic bullpen here. So wouldn't shock me if Detroit is up at the top. But again, congratulations. You're the best in the American League Central. What are you winning, Donnie, exactly, in the long run?
Yeah, exactly. Just getting feasted on by somebody else. But the things that we do like as handicappers is you take a look at these price points. Forget about, again, the White Sox. Not to win the World Series. That price you're looking on your screen is to win the division. And we're not even talking about a division, Joe, that has like the Dodgers in it. Like, well, nobody's going to win the division. Like, this division truly is up in the air, and have one team at 210-1 to win that division is hilarious. So look at the top four teams there. +220, +220, +300, +310 at this point here. If you had to pick one team, like, forget about the White Sox. Give me one team you expect to excel in this division, and give me one team, you know what? I'm not playing that team here this year in this division.
Oh, I think the Guardians are going to go the wrong way. I think the Guardians' best days are going to be behind them. And I think that they've been playing with house money over the last couple of years. But I do think the Kansas City Royals and the Detroit Tigers are that next wave. And hey, listen, give Minnesota credit, but Minnesota does the same thing each and every year, don't they? They look so good at some stretch, and then ultimately when it comes down to it at the end of the year, half the guys aren't available to them, and the pitching falls off a cliff. Say what you want. Is it managing? Is it, you know, who's calling the shots there? But you keep coming up short year after year. It's the pure definition of insanity for the Minnesota Twins. I think it's time for a new era. I think the Kansas City Royals and Detroit Tigers are the class of this division this year, and we should probably get used to it, Donnie, because I think that's the way it's going to be here for the next few years moving forward with the amount of arms and youth that they have here.
Guaranteed Rate Field, which I believe is still called in Chicago, the old New Comiskey, whatever you want to say, there are going to be some empty days. I can't wait for the pictures that come from those like early April crowds outside of opening week of how many tens of people, not tens of thousands, tens of people are in the stands. Their opening day starting lineup, not talking about the 1-9, the pitching staff here. Sean Burke, I think that was the old goalie who played for the New Jersey Devils, Martin Perez, Jonathan Cannon, Davis Martin, and Shane Smith. Is that lineup's 1-5 as their pitching staff here? A 210. And again, like Luis Roberts in that lineup, batting number two. Like, when is he shipped off? We've talked about him for years being traded off. This is the least talented organization from just 2 to 3 years ago. One of the most talented organizations with the brightest future. You had young superstar talents. You had flamethrowers in a pitching staff. And now we're left with looking at this lineup like, I'm not so sure he even plays on this team once we get to opening day. An absolutely crazy scenario. We're going to move it on to the AL West next. Is it the Astros? Is it the Rangers? Can the Mariners finally get over the hump? A lot to talk about here on a Major League Baseball Tuesday edition right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The AL West, which has certainly factored into the Major League Baseball landscape over the past decade with multiple championships here, doing with the Astros and the Rangers. The Mariners always trying to fight over the hump with a good pitching staff, but just can't quite find that knack for getting enough timely hitting here. The Angels, who are basically just Mike Trout and nobody else at this point. And then the Athletics, who we can't even call them Oakland. They are just the Athletics right now. If we look at the price points here, at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win this division. It is the Astros at a plus 170 price, the Texas Rangers plus 185, the Mariners 210, the Angels 20-1, and then the Athletics at 27-1. So we'll start at the top here for the Houston Astros. A lot of changes throughout this organization for the past couple of years, and a lot of superstars have left town, trying to replace that with Isak Paredes coming to town now through trade. Also, you take a look at Christian Walker as a free agent and Cam Smith coming over also in the trade from the Chicago Cubs. Taking a look at this team here, starting with the Astros, is it your mindset that they are the best team in the division, or is another team have your eye here fighting back for the AL West?
I think Houston, the era is gone. No more Bregman, no more Tucker, bye-bye. It is time to go. But listen, not everything stays forever, right? So, I mean, I know Altuve and Yordan Alvarez are still hanging around, but I just don't see Houston in this division doing anything more than maybe an 80, 85 win team at most. And I do think that the bounce back season here, and don't forget, Houston, I don't think won a game against Detroit. I think they got bounced out there in the wild card round last year. How they even won 88 games was a little interesting. But I think it's the Texas Rangers who are due for a bounce back here, not the Houston Astros. I think they're going to go through a couple of years of maybe a bit of a rebuild here in order to try to get back to the top of that division.
Yeah, one of the best organizations in baseball, whether they cheat or not, has been the Houston Astros at that point. So we'll see how it plays out this year. But that core getting a little bit older, no longer the Kyle Tucker's there. You know, Bregman's on the move. So that is going to be a different look Astros team, which sometimes some change is good. But I'm not necessarily thinking that year to year to year, we always thought the Houston Astros were just pencil them in as the AL West champions. Maybe that's not going to be the case at this point. Because why? Maybe it is their in-state rival, the Texas Rangers, that can sort of take that mantle. Because to me, just looking at the 1-9 starting on a day-to-day, one of the best in baseball here, and it's a lot of fun. Simeon Seager, Langford, Peterson, Garcia, Jung, Carter, Berger, and Heim. That's a great 1-9 with a decent starting staff that's going to be able to back them up behind. Injuries, Simeon's a great leadoff hitter. We get that. Seager has had some issues, but one of the best batters in baseball. I love the addition of Jock Peterson coming over too. That left-handed bat with some pop in the middle of the lineup between Langford and Adolis Garcia. I have a lot of fun with this team. If I had to pick one champion in this division, it would be the Rangers for me also. You look at the Rangers' price point to make the playoffs at a minus 138 price. I think they can certainly do that as well. But that price point of plus 185 to win it, it's one of these teams that on a day-to-day basis, if I'm not betting the side, boy, there's a lot of RBI props in that lineup that I'm going to love here, Joe, with the Rangers.
Oh, they really, I mean, my goodness here. That lineup, again, had to go through some injuries and some ups and downs last year. But, yeah, give me the Rangers home run props, like you mentioned, RBI props here. It was kind of a down year, but I think Corey Seager still had a great year last year. His WRC plus was still through the roof. They've got guys up and down this lineup, young guys too, that they can drop double digit runs a game on any pitching staff here. So like everything else with the Rangers, it's going to be like, do they have enough in the bullpen? Do they have enough to overcome some of those nights maybe where the ball isn't flying out of the park? I think they will. I think they're ready to go with Bochy. I think they're ready to have a huge bounce back season in the West.
Next team we'll talk about is the Mariners here. Picked third in the division odds-wise here to start the season at FanDuel. That's plus 210 as a price. Very close again to the Rangers and the Astros. And also to make the playoffs, basically chalk, a minus 112 price. You look at this lineup, and it's the same thing every year. And I don't know if this changed. Is it just the ballpark? We got to sort of bring the fences in to give us a chance, because every year we talk about the Mariners. Hey, good young pitching staff. Is it time that they get over the hump? Maybe it is. But the hitters, Robles, Rodriguez, Rally, Arozarena, Rally again. I mean, two rallies on the Cal Rally and Luke Rally. Hilarious how that plays out at that point. But when you look at that lineup, I look at it and go, I can't trust it. Like, is that good for three runs a game, which your pitchers have to have an ERA of sub two just to try to win this division? The lineup every single year for me leaves something to desired. And I look at this team right now and say to myself, same thing again, Joe. I can't trust the lineup. I can trust the pitching staff. That doesn't equate for victories for me enough to win this division.
Well, and they're hoping that, because they have pretty much, I believe, that they're basically going into this season with kind of the same offensive pieces that they had last year. And they did what? They added Randy Arozarena, I believe, in the summer last year. They got him. They got Solano. Yes, the pitching staff, very, very good. But the problem with the Mariners is, as usual, ownership. Ownership will spend no money. It's once again, this is another year. They have not been in the top 10 in opening day payroll since 2008. And they've been below league median average since 2019. Oh, yeah, by the way, they haven't made the playoffs since 2001, Donnie. You think that correlates to the amount of money they're not spending? You can't compete in the American League or the National League, for that matter, and be taken seriously and not be willing to spend and write checks. And Seattle's just not going to do it. And we keep hearing they're going to do it at the trade deadline every year when they have good teams, but they don't have... They're not willing to spend to get that one or two other pieces to put them over the top. And as long as they don't do that, congratulations. You'll be mediocre at best.
Yep. Get some good pitching starts. Boy, another 3-1 loss for the Mariners. Go figure that one out. Yeah, we can easily figure it out. Get some pop in that lineup and certainly do some damage at this point. Here's a team I want to talk about from LA. Not the Dodgers, because we're since talking about here the AL West. It is the Angels. Like the move to get Soler, but also 20-1 to win this division, to make the playoffs at a plus 680 price, win total 72.5. Is it time just to move Mike Trout? Or they say, well, he's our box office guy in LA. We always need a superstar, which I get, because Trout's having a pretty good spring and he's healthy. Who knows how long that's going to last? Jorge Soler, I was watching last night, hit another home run. I think he has 5 or 6 in the spring training session so far. He should be fine, but it's always been an organization without a rudder. Like, we're not going to spend money on pitching. We'll have a really good lineup. We'll try to invest in pitching. The pitching doesn't work out. Our lineup suffers because of it. The Angels, for me, do need a complete restart here. But the question is, would somebody take on Trout's contract? And also, does Mike Trout actually want to leave L.A.? Because he's comfortable not really being in the spotlight, which how much of a spotlight the Dodgers take up.
Was last year rock bottom, Donnie? 99 losses. I think the most in franchise history last year. But more importantly, they watched Shohei Ohtani, who for some reason they held on to without actually getting anything in return for him when they had the chance to rebuild this organization. And this he was the kind of player, if you weren't going to sign, well, then guess what? You could have gotten a ridiculous trade package and rebuilt this team sooner rather than later. But instead, you got nothing. And I think that's the big question here. I don't see it getting any better here. I mean, this is a team that has not had a good run differential in 10 years. And they have not, I believe, have a winning season since 2015. So what in this organization leads us to believe that things are going to turn around this year? I think they lose 100 or more games this year. That's how bad I think this organization is.
Like, what a restart you could have had for your organization. Hey, you know what? We're the dregs of the minor league system. You fire off Trout and Ohtani and get an entire new team back of young talent. Yes. And then you're in L.A. and you can spend some money in free agency and away you go. And they completely botched everything. Where now it looks like you're going to have to pay somebody to take Mike Trout, not get the best prospects in the organization, and just let Ohtani walk across the street and go to the Dodgers and enjoy the spotlight there. It's crazy the way it plays out. I do want to spend just a few moments here talking about the Athletics, not the Oakland Athletics, just the Athletics next, and also chances to win some awards in the AL next right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
AL MVP awards in just a moment here. But usually you say, well, you're not going to stop the presses for bad baseball teams or baseball teams you don't think are going to do a lot of damage, let's just say by winning the division, making the playoffs, and or a World Series. That's the Athletics. And as I said, yes, just the Athletics. Not Oakland, not Las Vegas. They're just the Athletics that are going to play in Sacramento. Now, my question comes to you, Joe, because you're down in South Florida. And the difference from going from the Tropicana Field outdoors to playing in a smaller bandbox with the heat and humidity is going to make a massive difference. The reason I wanted to talk about the Athletics is not necessarily that I don't like Lawrence Butler. I do. Or Brent Rooker can have a good season. I think he will. And some of those guys in the lineup, I will be betting on day to day for runs scored, hits, RBIs, home runs. You get the picture. But Oakland Alameda County Colley Stadium, whatever it's been called, Monster Stadium, all that stuff over the years, they're not going to play there now. They're in Sacramento. And if anybody's ever watched a game in Oakland, it looks like a field you should be able to hit home runs. But when you're playing at night in 50-degree temperatures in the middle of the summer and have foul territory that steals at least 3 to 4 outs a game, it's not a great hitter's ballpark and a true pitcher's ballpark. That's going to change now, where you add the heat and the humidity and a smaller ballpark going outdoors in Sacramento. How do you approach the Oakland Athletics? Maybe not from a can they get to the playoffs, but just when the games are now played in Sacramento as opposed to being in Oakland.
Well, it's ironic, too, because there's a lot of question marks about going from that ridiculous stadium in Oakland that had, you know, 12 miles of foul territory that you could not get the ball out of the ballpark. If you were a pitcher, you loved the Oakland Coliseum, right? It was great. But now you're going to be going to Sacramento. That's playing in a AAA park, I believe, as well for the Giants. That the temperatures, they're going to be there. They're not going to have nearly the same kind of foul ball territory and not necessarily the kinds of conditions that would favor pitchers and not hitters like you've had. Now, whether that comes to fruition, there are some similarities, but it's going to be a wait and see here on what happens with some of these warmer nights here for Sacramento without that whole marine layer keeping the ball out of the air. So it was totally about pitching. It was a pitcher's park, one of the best in Major League Baseball, even though they hadn't done anything to it since 1976 from a facility standpoint. But whether or not anything numbers-wise is going to change, and Oakland, by the way, may be more stable this roster this year, Donnie, than we've seen in how long? This is actually some names and faces that they're back, believe it or not, with Oakland. So I think it's a wait and see. It's going to be a fascinating test case, I think, moving forward.
Yeah, just an absolute crime for, like, Oakland, right? Like, that stadium's going to sit empty. They could have easily played a couple more years there, made nice with Oakland till they left, but now that's just a disaster. But you're right. You now start that, all right, we're a team in Sacramento. We're waiting to get to Vegas. We have to actually start spending a little bit on our payroll so the teams from a Vegas perspective looks a little bit more enticing when they do come to town. So Oakland completely got the shaft with their fans here. Let's take a look at some of those AL MVP markets here because it's interesting price. Most would think, well, who's MVP last year? Well, it's Aaron Judge. Who's the favorite this year? It's not Aaron Judge. How about that? It's Bobby Witt Jr. at a plus 280 price. A lot of people on this network were saying, like, oh, Aaron Judge is always going to be that MVP favorite here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Not the case here. Do you agree Bobby Witt Jr. should be the favorite for the AL MVP, or should it be Aaron Judge?
Well, Aaron Judge will always have to be in the conversation provided he plays enough games. True. Right. I mean, that's going to be it. Now, are we going to see a huge drop off with Soto not batting behind him? We'll find out here if guys are not willing to pitch to him. But listen, as long as he plays enough games and he's got the possibility of hitting, you know, 50 plus home runs in a year, driving in 120 plus RBI. Yes, he's going to hit 300. I mean, the problem is he going to play enough games? Is he going to run into a wall and stub his toe again? Lot of question marks there for him. But the one thing we know about Bobby Witt is that he is from a WRC plus, from a stolen base perspective, singles, doubles, even to home runs, different kind of player, but smaller market. I think it's Judge's to lose, but it wouldn't shock me at all if Bobby Witt Jr. is your MVP.
Not going to be doing a double take here in the AL MVP race. Maybe Joe Friso can do some work here behind the scenes, but I'm just like scanning the board quickly, and I'd have to go far to find Mike Trout at 16 to 1. There's no way he was hovering around 16-1 at the beginning of spring training. Like, I know he's having a decent spring training, and we're anticipating him being healthy, and maybe there's a shot. But Trout now at 16-1, because he's one of those players I was trying to look down, like, oh, I wonder where you can get him. 50-1, 60-1, 70-1. He's 16-1, and I don't think he opened up it, let's just say, when the odds came out for the FanDuel betting here. He did, so I'm getting – that's crazy. Like, I like Trout.
Wow.
16-1, no shot. 60-1? Give me it. Because you know as well as I do, he's going to slide in the second base after hitting 7 home runs in the first 2 weeks of the season and be out for 6 more weeks at this point. I can't bet that. But if we are looking down the board, and down the board, I mean after Bobby Witt Jr. and Aaron Judge, who has your attention, Joe, in this odds market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook?
Well, I think Vlad Guerrero is real interesting, isn't he? Since it is a contract year
it
in
is.
The American yeah. League East. And, he's a guy that's certainly going to have some motivation here. He's a guy that can certainly be an RBI leader. He can be even a hits leader. I mean, he's got all the talent in the world, provided that he can, you know, stay in that lineup. But I love guys that have motivation here, and this organization, he'd love nothing more to stick it to them and make their life miserable, because if you didn't sign him to this point, if he has an MVP caliber year here, then, well, he's going to love that. I think he's worth a shot at that price here. Why not?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys all the way down, too, because look at the 80-1s down there, right? Brent Rooker, who, again, is going to get a big bump from not having to play out there in Oakland. And also, as we pointed out earlier, Cody Bellinger at 80-1. What factors into an MVP? Well, a good baseball team, we expect the Yankees to be. He'll get some protection out in that lineup and see pitches if he is behind Aaron Judge. And the second part about this is, if he can just put that stroke together and get hot, man, that 80-1 is going to drop like a rock at that point. But we are looking at some of the top things. Again, Mike Trout, 16-1. I'm not saying he can't win it, but give me a better price point. Is that the Tiger Woods price point? Like, hey, Tiger can win the Masters. Oh, Donnie, did you know he blew out his Achilles? Doesn't matter. Bet him. We'll win it anyway. Like, where are all the Trout bettors out here? My goodness. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
AL Awards market here. We just talked about some of the MVPs here. Bobby Witt Jr., Kansas City Royals. Can you imagine this? The Royals have a good player and they paid him, just didn't trade him to the Yankees at the end of one of those seasons here. Love to see that. Could it be Aaron Judge, home run king in New York, having a solid season once again? We'll find out. And it's going to take some time, about 6 months to see. But let's take a look at some of the other awards markets here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, which includes Cy Young. One of the best young pitchers in baseball, looking for another Cy Young in his pocket, is Cerek Skubal at a plus 350 price. Oh, he should be far and away the favorite. No. Look at Garrett Crochet going over to the Boston Red Sox at a plus 360 price as it currently stands now. Cole Reagan's at 850-1. If we do look at that Cy Young award market here, are we going back to back with Skubal at this point, or is somebody else have your eye?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Is Jacob DeGrom healthy? I'm just asking for a friend, because if you're thinking that Trout has an opportunity to play enough games in order to be able to be the MVP again, then is Jacob DeGrom not intriguing enough for a team that we think has a pretty good shot at making a run to it? Again, it all depends on injuries, but I think also Logan Gilbert is a guy that we got to keep an eye on here, maybe for a breakout season. Obviously, Skubal is a guy that you have to consider, but I think there's a number of guys in the American League that are going to be very interesting here. Maybe, I don't know, Kirby is another guy. Some of these young arms that can probably drop 200 strikeouts or more this season, I think there's opportunity. I think this is a wide open market where the value is down the board, but not with your typical favorites here.
Exactly. And also, one of the guys coming back that was a Cy Young candidate and a very good pitcher in the American League was Shane McClanahan. We did the pro baseball show this weekend before the news came out on McClanahan. He was a 20-1 price. I'm like, keep an eye on that guy. Like, even though I understand they're going outdoors, one of the more dominant pitchers in baseball coming back from an injury and looked like he was healthy. A little of that, like, triceps tendonitis slash strain dropped him now back to a 50-1 price. They said they got good news on the prognosis, but who knows how long he's going to be out to start the season. So that's one of those big price drops in there, but a wide open field, it appears, outside of the top guys here for the American League Cy Young. American League Rookie of the Year, he's like the NBA, we get excited for that. Maybe even hockey look towards that, or, you know, a rookie in the NFL. It's so hard to say the best rookie. Like, it feels like I've been talking about Jason Dominguez for 5 years with the Yankees, and he's still eligible to be a rookie at a 4-to-1 price point. I don't know very many rookies in Major League Baseball I want to put my money on. So we can skip this over. Unless, Joe, do you have any rookies that you see in that market here at FanDuel? They say, you know, is worth a shot at this point? Or is it just really like, hey, just take a shot on a price point, hope your player plays well?
Kumar Rocker is an intriguing situation to me, as is Jackson Jobe, also getting a ton of press here and a ton of love early in the season. So that is going to play itself out. I do think, again, there's probably going to be not just one guy heads and tails, but there's probably going to be two or three guys down the stretch that it could be anybody's ball game there.
By the way, American League Manager of the Year, I always like this stuff because I laugh at myself. I love football, specifically NFL football. I'll go right down the list and name you every single coach and probably even like offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator in the NFL once you get like 1 week into the season where you see their faces. Major League Baseball always stumps me with managers. Outside of like your favorite teams and the more popular teams, like I see like manager Dan Wilson at a plus 400 price, and I swear, I had to go to the FanDuel Sportsbook and bring up the odds to see he was the Mariners manager. I am terrible with Major League Manager at this point. Any thoughts on who could possibly win the AL Manager of the Year, or if you even have an in on that thing? You know what? This is one of my guys.
I think Hinch is a guy that you have to consider each and every year. I mean, he's got... He's a guy, too, that did not take the firing from the Houston Astros very well, has an opportunity to get back to the top of the heap with a very young and a pitching staff and a group of young players there that love him. And nobody seems to navigate the youth like he does. I think Hinch is always going to be in that conversation.
Yeah, it is funny to look at, too, because you go all the way down, like Aaron Boone and the Yankees. Like, the Yankees are the favorites to win the pennant, and he's way down there at 18-1 to win Manager of the Year. It's almost like you're a hindrance to your own team that's the best year, so we can't actually give you a vote at that point. Best reliever on the market, Emmanuel Clase from the Guardians, obviously always one of those guys up there. And also, comeback player of the year in the American League, Mike Trout, +340. Is he a shoo-in for that one?
Oh, I don't know. Jacob DeGrom?
Trout.
I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. We got some guys that's... It could be a pitcher award, believe it or not. Could be a pitcher award.
I always like the guys that aren't actually injured but just come back from being bad baseball players. That's the best market here. Hour number 3 next.